It's all been building up to this. Welcome to the BAPCO Energy's 8 Hours of Bahrain race preview, brought to you by Le Mans Ultimate, the official game of the FIA World Endurance Championship. My name's Alexa Randall. I'm joined by our resident WEC expert, Sam Smith. And like I said, this is it. This is the championship decider. There's history to be made, battles to be had, and titles to be won. And we're going to have a duel in the desert, racing in 8 hours from daylight into darkness. It's incredibly dramatic. It looks beautiful out on track. And Sam, there are some really unique challenges here, aren't there?
There are many, many challenges. But first of all, 8 months since Qatar. It feels like yesterday.
It feels like no time at all.
It feels like we were just talking about how the season was going to unravel, and boy, has it unravelled in an amazing way. This circuit is a perfect place for the WEC to have its finale at. It's been a consistent venue since 2012, since the inception of the WEC. And it's a real test in terms of lots of hard stops. So big straights and then tight corners. So it really tests the brakes. But more than that, the abrasive surface is going to be the watchword. It's all going to be about tyres and how they strategize the tyres, how they look after them, what they learn about how they react in the free practice sessions. And I think ultimately that could become a really crucial decider in where the championships go in hypercar.
Well, how about we start with that? Let's talk about the Drivers' Championship first and foremost, because ultimately it's the number 6 Porsche Penske's to lose. They've got a 35-point lead over the number 50 Ferrari, a 37-point lead over the number 7 Toyota. When there's only 39 points available in total this weekend, 38 in the race, 1 for pole position, to be honest, how hard can it be, Sam?
Well, it's a very comfortable margin that they have over the number 50 crew and then the number 7 crew, as you said. Just slightly further back, they've earned it though. They've had an amazing season. Consistency wins you championships. Of the 7 races previously, they've only finished off the podium once at COTA when it was a real difficult race for them, but they still got points there. I think you look back to Interlagos when they had that damage and they fought back and they got that podium at Interlagos. And then obviously the wins in Qatar and last time out in Fuji. It's been an exceptional campaign by that number 6 crew. Having said that, funny things can happen in endurance racing.
And actually,
it does. However, if you look at Bahrain historically, it is the least attritional race in the calendar. 91.2% of finishers on average over the races that have been here. So it's unlikely that there's going to be reliability. They've not had any real reliability issues all season. And that's why they do their testing in the off season. That's why they do the endurance test to get that bulletproof reliability. If they have that, then it should be the percentage game. They should be able to just cruise through to finish 7th or 8th and take the championship.
And whilst we are focusing on the number 6 more specifically, it's worth mentioning that this will be André Lotterer's, a sports car racing legend, his final race as a Porsche works driver.
It is. It's a momentous day. We don't know what André is going to do in the future, but it has been communicated that he won't be part of the Porsche factory collective of drivers for next season. I mean, what a story. You know, he first joined actually in 2017 after Audi withdrew from sports car racing. And he's been on and off part of that family. Obviously, the last two seasons, he's spearheaded the development and the testing using all his knowledge and experience. And, you know, you would say that André Lotterer is one of probably two or three key sort of pillars, drivers-wise, in global endurance racing over the last, 14, 15 years? And what he has actually achieved has been astonishing. And what a better way to do it than going out with a Hypercar World Championship in the WEC.
And briefly again, how brilliant is it that we've got the return of this Ferrari versus Porsche battle that has long been a mainstay in the WEC and has boiled over here before, certainly.
Well, of course, 2021, I think you're referring to that,
yes,
aren't you, Alexa? We had a lot of controversy and we had this amazing battle for what was then the LMGT Pro Championship. Ferrari versus Porsche, it's up there in the top rivalries of international racing, isn't it? And we're going to get that again, I think, this weekend, but with Toyota thrown into the middle of it from the manufacturer's standpoint. And for me, the Drivers' Championship I guess in your kind of head it's done, but in your heart you're thinking, oh, it could go down to the last few
laps. You never know. You never know.
But the Manufacturers' Championship, I think that's where the real intrigue could be come the last sort of hour or even the last few laps of the season.
Well, let's dig into that, because Porsche currently have the lead. They've got a 10-point lead over Toyota, who has a 17-point lead over Ferrari. Now, that's a 27-point gap between the top three. Might sound like a lot, but with 38-39 points on offer this weekend, they're actually... is still all to play for.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's going to be a winner takes all. If Toyota won the race and Porsche finished second, then Toyota would win the Manufacturers' Championship. Got an 11-point swing with 38-27 for this extra couple of hours of racing in the 8 hours format. Remember that Manufacturers, they only the top classified car scores the point. So it's not combined or there's no sort of complexity in that point of view. So if it does come down to Toyota versus Porsche, then it could be literally a winner-takes-all situation, which would be fantastic if it is that close. And I'm kind of expecting it to be that close this weekend. But the real sort of, I guess, the real sort of driving force between them could be Ferrari. We've seen it so many times this season, that sort of mid-group of manufacturers, there's been a little bit of a gap between the top group, which has been Porsche, Toyota and Ferrari, you know, and we've seen in recent races with Alpine and BMW getting in amongst them, and even, you know, Peugeot are strong as well in recent races, that actually you could get some interlopers that could actually change the dynamic of the championship.
And we'll definitely come back to that, but briefly I want to touch on, well, Toyota's disastrous home race in Fuji. It's a race they are typically so very strong at, and it all just went wrong for them. But looking ahead to Bahrain here, now this is a race they have generally dominated over the years in WEC.
Yeah, it was tough for them, wasn't it, at Fuji? I mean, there's always a lot of pressure on there. They've handled it supremely over the years. You know, that record they've got is still fantastic on its home track, but it didn't go for them last time out. Rare mistake, really, from Kamui Kobayashi in battle, lost some points there. You know, the number eight lost some points in Kota as well. I think if you put those two things together, you know, they may have had a sort of unassailable lead in the championship if it wasn't for those issues. But look, you know, it happens in the white heat of racing. You often get these unforeseen circumstances where, you know, you can have a retirement. I mean, amazingly, that is only the third time that a Toyota has not finished a race in hypercar since hypercar began.
Shows their consistency.
It's extraordinary, you know, the level of achievement that they've had, that there's only three times that they've not scored. So it's a rare occurrence. I expect Bahrain, as we alluded to before, that I think actually the reliability will be strong. And unless there's accidents and incident damage, then, you know, I see the vast majority of the entries finishing on there on Saturday evening.
Well, actually, we've been seeing big improvements in reliability for everybody up and down the grid. Lamborghini, particularly one that comes to mind, making their first hyperpole appearance last time out in Fuji, really making ground. But also, it's definitely worth mentioning BMW and Alpine securing their podiums last time out. And now they are kind of leading the way in that battle for fourth place in the manufacturers, which I'm sure, given it's their first season, both of those two teams would be absolutely delighted to secure this weekend.
Yeah, you know, if we look back to Qatar and what they were achieving in Qatar, which, you know, wasn't a lot results-wise and pace-wise. And then there was disappointment of Le Mans for Alpine. BMW have had lots of little things that they've tried to get on top of. And they've both come through it and they've both found some real pace and some real constituent parts of their packages that they can exploit. I mean, I thought actually BMW did a superb job. The number 15, Dries Van Toor, Lello Marciello and Marco Wittmann did a really great job in Fuji. And then Alpine, again, just, you know, fighting to the death. We saw that great battle.
With both cars as well.
With both cars. I mean, you know, there is something to say that if Alpine, the number 35 car, hadn't have had that penalty in Fuji, that they could have fought for victory on merit. So for them to come from where they've come from to now be getting podiums is exceptional. You know, Mick Schumacher, special mention to Mick, because I thought he was fantastic at Fuji. We saw him with that epic battle with Norman Nato at the end, and he snatched that position and got the podium. So both Alpine and BMW, super strong. You know, if they can maintain that here, and it'll be a tough ask because the other manufacturers have much more experience of this track than they do, I think that we could be on for both of them having another strong race and going into the winter. with so much momentum and so much positivity that they could be genuine contenders come 2025.
Well, actually, it's not just Alpine and BMW that are in the fight for fourth. They're probably leading the way, but we've also got Cadillac and Peugeot that are worth mentioning here, because they looked quick, both of them, in Fuji last time out, and I don't necessarily think the results attest to that. But coming here, someone like Cadillac feels like they could really throw a spanner in the works of what we were expecting for the Porsche, Ferrari, Toyota three-way fight for the title.
Yeah, they've had a funny season, Cadillac. They've been absolutely exceptional in some races, and they've shown great pace in some of the races themselves. But actually, in qualifying, they've been a real force. I mean, we saw Alex Lynn score that magnificent pole position in Fuji, and you know, his heroics at Le Mans as well. And then it was a really messy race in Fuji. You know, there was incidents, there was damage. You know, the accident that Earl Bamber had, and then got it back to the pits with lots of work for the team to do. I think it's the last race with Chip Ganassi as well, remember. So there's a lot for them to sort of aim for to finish the season in a really strong position. And I think they're capable of doing it. And don't forget, they've obviously got a third driver in Sebastian Bourdais this weekend as well, who for a couple of minutes at least thought that he got pole at Le Mans, and does such a good job, has massive amount of knowledge and soaks up a great deal of a technical understanding of the project and the car. So I expect them to be strong again here, as they were last year. Didn't go well for them at turn one, but actually, if you look at qualifying and you look at their recovery drive, that car is super impressive.
Well, how about we also then talk about Jota and the other Hypercar World Cup teams, because as you mentioned, it's Chip Ganassi's last weekend working with Cadillac. Jota will be taking that over next year. I think the number 38 and the number 12 car will be looking to finish that relationship with Porsche on a high. Then you've also got to look at the number 99 Proton Competition Hypercar. They've not won yet in the Hypercar World Cup, the only team not to have done so in that sort of subcategory. With Julian Andlauer heading to Porsche next season, I feel like it's almost a moment for him to sort of show what he can do, as well, frankly, for all of those drivers.
Yeah, the championship is done, as you say, in the Hypercar World Cup, but the rest is up for grabs. You know, yeah. The P2 is anybody's, really, and it's super close between those independents who regularly get into the top, you know, the top positions themselves as well. And on occasions, as we've seen at COTA with AF Corse Ferrari and Jota at Spa, they win the race. I think there's some really good storylines in here, particularly Jota's last race with the gold, the Hertz Jota Porsche 963. I think Protolo want to finish off with a strong performance. And like you say, Julian Andlauer, from a professional career point of view, is on a high because he's now been promoted to the Porsche factory seat for next season. And then, of course, you've got the 83, which has kind of had a real sort of... a really bittersweet season, in the sense that amazing win in COTA, great pace, front-running pace at Le Mans, but mistakes and incidents that have kind of taken away a little bit in terms of what they're able to achieve in results. So, you know, knowing the blazing ambition of Robert Kubica, he's going to be wanting to make sure that he finishes this season with a strong result. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of action in that little subcategory of hypercar as well.
To be honest, talking about all of this has just made me realise how much potential there is for an upset this weekend. So many teams and drivers are now capable of taking podiums, wins, pole positions. It's the way that the championship's now developed, that we're talking about it as if, I don't know, if the Toyota doesn't take pole position and the number 6 Porsche Penske does, that rules them out of winning the Drivers' Championship, which is just mental how successful the 6 has been. Now, with all of that in mind, I'm going to ask you to predict some things, Sam.
Oh, dear.
How about we start off with the Drivers' Championship, then the manufacturers, and then chuck in a race winner for us, why don't you?
Okay, so I think the Drivers' Championship, I'm taking the easy way out. I think the number 6 are going to do it. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. I mean, from their point of view, they're going to hope that it's an extremely, you know, steady, settled
gentle,
run to fifth,
calm.
Sixth or whatever. We know that racing isn't like that, but I still think they'll get it done. And I think the great story about that will be just the way, as we've talked before, their consistency. And also Andre Lotterer potentially sealing his unbelievable career with a world championship. I think the manufacturers is much more intricate. And I think that Toyota could have the pace and experience here to actually be the one that everyone's trying to beat. If that happens and they win, then they've won the manufacturers. So we could end up with a split where there's a Porsche, Toyota getting one title each. So yeah, was there another prediction?
I'd love to give you a race winner.
Race winner. So with that in mind, I think the race winner will be Toyota.
Happy days.
And I think Kamui Kobayashi, knowing him a little bit over the years, he's going to be hurting a bit from Fuji and wanted to make up for it. So I could see number seven winning the race and sealing the manufacturer's title for Toyota, but unfortunately just not having enough with the number six, and number six coming in fourth, fifth, sixth and taking that driver's crown.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet, of course, are LMGT3 cars, because of course the championship was decided last time out in Fuji. It went to the number 92 Mantai Pure Racing. Sam, what a season they've had. What a race that was for them as well.
Yeah, they've done a magnificent job all season. A bit like the number six crew in Hypercar, amazing consistency. You know, even when their backs were to the wall in Spa after that big shunt from Alexander Malakin, who, by the way, has been magnificent this season. You know, they fought back and they came through and they got a second place in that race, which was incredible. They've had tough competition, particularly from the 91 EMA car, just in the next bay next to them in the pit. And they've had, you know, they've had on occasion BMW, they've had McLaren challenges occasionally, they had Ferrari obviously at Fuji. They have just been the absolute epitome of consistency, and they fully deserve their championship. You know, and I think Joel Sturm and Klaus Backler have just been, like Malakin, have been exceptional all through the campaign.
I think actually second place in LMGT3 is really a battle that's shaping up to be something quite spicy. 7 points separating between second and fourth. You've got the number 91 Mantai, the number 27 Heart of Racing Aston, and of course the number 31 BMW WRT. To be honest, Sam, they've all got one win apiece apart from the 91 with two wins. It's going to be pretty hard to separate them this weekend when they've all had success throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is really hard to tell because we don't get a perspective really of where the order or the hierarchy is in LMGT3 until really after free practice two. You know, once they've done their long runs and you understand where everything is from a race pace perspective. I mean, I think Porsche will be strong here, but obviously they've got the title done. So, you know, do they go out with a mentality of, well, you know, it's done now, so let's go and enjoy ourselves. And when teams and drivers often do that, they usually free themselves up and they can dominate. I'm not saying that's going to happen because it rarely does in LMGT3. But the interesting thing for me is the Heart of Racing guys. You know, kind of half of their mind is undoubtedly on bringing the Valkyrie next season and getting it into a state of readiness for Qatar, which isn't too far away now. So, but again, you know, maybe that sort of just frees them up and they come to the weekend and they think, right, you know, let's get a second victory of the season and go out there and do it. And they seem to have, with Ian James, Alex Ribeiros and Daniel Mancinelli, a really good constructive dynamic within that team that has really good, strong traits that can, you know, that can win races. So I think they'll be ones to look out for this weekend. And maybe get that second position in the championship, who knows?
Yeah, it's seriously a good fight on our hands we've got there. Actually, looking down the rest of the order, it's still pretty close between most of these other teams vying for those final positions in the championship. Looking at the likes of the number 46 with WRT, or either of the Lamborghini cars with the Iron Lynx and Iron Dames, there's several teams here who've been almost and so near to taking a victory this season, but it hasn't quite worked out for them. Is there anyone that you think will be really looking to kind of make up for lost time this season and get that win or a podium that perhaps they haven't been able to achieve yet?
Yeah, I think when the Iron Dames trio walk through the gates of the circuit, they'll be instantly transported back 12 months to that amazing win that they achieved last season. Obviously a different package this season, and it's been a tough one. You know, they've had a lot of challenges with what they've got this season, but the feeling is that when things come right and they have reliability and they're able to get into the sort of, you know, a real strategic race, that they can actually pull it off. Could they do back-to-back wins in Bahrain? Absolutely. I think they definitely could. So the other one that I think is due a big result is TF Sport.
Very good point, yeah.
they've again a challenging season. They results wise, it's been very thin on the ground. But actually, if you dig down, the performance is there. You know, it's just trying to harness that in some kind of consistency through the race weekend, and you just feel that they must get a result. So I've got a feeling TF Sport can at least get a podium this weekend.
Well, Sam, with all of that in mind, how about we do a prediction for LMGT3? Because the championship's decided here, but there's still a race to be won. Who do you expect to see on the top step of the podium come the end of this weekend?
Well, I think it's going to be extremely close, and I think it could be one of the best races of the season for that kind of freeing up kind of thing I mentioned, that actually there's no pressure, there's no points collation for most of the field. There is that battle for second, third and fourth, which will be the main talking point. I think the heart of racing guys will be good. I think that the Aston Martin has got a really good record around the Bahrain International Circuit. So I'm going to go for them winning their second race of the season after what they achieved in COTA.
And finally, let's talk about Sunday, because I said the end of the weekend and I realise here we race on Saturday, but Sunday is something special in and of itself. It's rookie test time, and there are plenty of interesting stories coming out of this year's test, Sam. Can you talk us through a few maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's the rookie test, for those who don't know, is the day after the end of the season. The teams run a rookie that they may just want to evaluate and appraise, or it's something that they're building for the coming season, for 2025. We got some really interesting names. Teo Pourchaire is going to be testing on Sunday. We've got Victor Martins, who people will know from Formula 2. I think the sort of the headline grabbing test is going to be Valentino Rossi, who's going to be driving one of the BMW hypercars as well. And then in LMGT3, we're going to see the Michel Gatting driving one of the Mantai Porsches as well. So there's a whole load of really intriguing storylines that may or may not point towards who could be in the paddock in 2025 and where they might be amongst all these fantastic teams.
Yeah, there's some really, really exciting stuff for us to look forward to this entire weekend, and I for one can't believe we're here. We're at the season finale, and thank you so much for joining us, Sam.
Pleasure.
Thank you to everybody who works on the WEC throughout the year. We don't get to say it enough. Thank you for all the effort and time you put in. And of course, thank you for watching. It's been an almighty season so far already, and there's plenty more to come this weekend. As we race from daylight into darkness, the 8 hours of Bahrain is one that you do not want to miss. Make sure you're following along with all of the action on the WEC social media and of course across FIAWEC.tv. We will see you on Sunday to debrief with our brand new world champions.